matter with them accident? Evan, hurry up, Mama. Chap, chap, Evan, come on.
All right.
But you were writing a letter.
No, Mama.
You were writing to tell them to take me away. You want them to take me away.
I'm writing a story for class, Mama. I don't want them to take you away.
Yes, you do.
Owen loves his Mama.
Owen loves his Mama. Owen loves his Mama. Owen loves his Mama. Owen loves his Mama. Owen loves his Mama.
There's a reason we're playing that Throw Mama from the train clip.
I was going to say, I didn't realize like when that movie came out that John Papagiorgio was going to become Danny DeVito from Throw Mama.
Yeah, yeah. I am the balding lard-ass writer, frustrated in everything he does, unable to accomplish anything.
Oh, man.
I guess you would be my Billy Crystal then. If, was he cool? Was he cool in the movie? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, now I'm just like, crap, I have to watch this again.
No, that was one of those many movies introduced to me via Don and Mike clips of it.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, that was hilarious. I have to see the rest of it. And it almost never lived up. They almost invariably had the best clip, and you would just wait the whole movie and be like, oh, this is what I heard the sound is to, but I ain't seen the pictures yet to it.
Pretty much every Hollywood comedy ever since. It's just like it can be broken down in a 30-second clip for commercials.
Absolutely, yeah. Like the 90-minute Red Band trailer is all you need. All right, folks, this is Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood, the co-host. Still, for the moment?
Momentarily, yes.
I like that. The show, you should listen to it every week. It's hosted at inpapasbasement.com. Find us on Stitcher as well as the iPodcast app, whatever, Apple's podcast app. You can look for Papa's Basement as well as Papa's Football Podcast, the football show we do together. And it's spelled P-A-P-A apostrophe S. And last but not least, I tweet from at Papa's Basement. Sometimes it's funny. Most of the times it isn't. Most of the time it's just links to this show. You don't need it, especially if you actually subscribe. Like, no one does. But if you did, guess what? 80% redundant.
Hey, so whenever you do have a Twitter battle with a sandwich shop, that's always entertaining. I think it's worth subscribing or
following. That's true. Once in a while, I will beef with a food company that shortchanges me. You can see where my priorities in life are, where I tweet individual Chick-fil-A's. I'm like, I asked for 3 Chick-fil-A sauces. You gave me 2. I'm going to burn you down like Charlie Hebdo.
Boo.
Boo. Boo. This is a complete non sequitur, and it'll take 20 seconds. The area has been a snowy, icy hell. The D.C. area where Howie and I record. You can confirm this, right?
Yeah, we stink at snow clearance. For those of you from places that know how to clear snow, D.C.'s not one of them.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're Buffalo or Michigan or anything like that, but we've had this weird layer of like ice that really hasn't left for about a week. And my car has looked like the rim of a martini. Same with you, I take it, right? I mean, just it's got that winterish, salt-caked look, and you're just staring at your car,
oh, man,
and it's like,
yeah.
What is this doing to my paint?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I drove up on the day of our big snowstorm, big, quote-unquote, because, we got 2 inches. I guess some places got 6 in the area, but...
We got 2 inches or so, but it was, like, that perfectly timed. Here's... The D.C. area has horrific commutes.
Yeah.
During, you know, just regular commuter hours. Other people, their rush hour lasts for like 1 hour. Ours is 3.5. I'm not exaggerating either way. And if anything goes wrong, I mean anything, it goes to hell.
Yeah.
So, yes, it was only 2 inches of snow, but they didn't salt for it. And it came down like really fast. And people took like 3 to 4 hours to get to work.
During rush hour, no less. It started morning rush.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. It was worse in Maryland. So it was one of those strange storms that... dropped a lot more on the Maryland side of the Potomac River.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Baltimore that night, and the roads were horrible there. And it's not just because Baltimore is like a ghetto city that has terrible snow clearance. I talked to the people who...
I like how you said not just. You're like, that was a factor. Don't misunderstand.
No, absolutely. But they definitely got quite a bit more than we did in D.C., and they're not that far north from us, so...
No, they're like an hour.
But they got brutalized, man. It just the whole area got blindsided by.
I like how
what we're still dealing with.
Hour is a unit of distance.
What are you talking about?
Well done. Or you're like, they're not that far north of us. I'm like, yes, an hour. I didn't give you miles. I'm like, they're a car ride ahead of us. Yeah, all of this is going to culminate in nothing. I just wanted to say how much I love it. This whole weekend, I saw people lined up 8 cars deep at every gas station at the car wash. I'm like, maybe I should do that. Monday, today, as we record, raining, my laziness rewarded. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah. There's nothing better than rain coming down after your car has been beef jerkied, in essence, for a week straight.
I don't see how, like, talking about this doesn't segue nicely into our lead story, though.
You know what? Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit. Maybe it segues perfectly.
Absolutely it does.
All right. Well, last Tuesday, when all this crud came down. Sorry, this is the clean show. I promised a clean show, and there I dropped the C-bomb right there.
Mm-hmm.
All this crud. There, I did it again. All this ice came down, and I was out working because I'm a man, so I know how to drive in bad conditions. But my mom took off because she's a woman, and I live with her, which makes me less of a man. But I'm going to go with driving in the snow makes me something of a man. I'm a man-woman right now. I'm like Johnny Joni from, God, what was my favorite show? True Detective. Joni Johnny, whoever the hell that was. The tranny who had the mustache. You know I'm a man. It's feminine in some ways, but you know I got a penis between my legs. So... I was out, and around 5 p.m. apparently, my mom went out to check the mail because she's 71, and so the mail matters to her. Like, she still gets things via parcel post, which she cares about. And she shuffled her trunky ass out there and apparently hit an ice patch and fell and broke her wrist trying to break her fall. Now, Howard was asking beforehand, like, how bad a break was this? Because my neighbor claims he got a phone call from my mom, who was simply screaming and sobbing and could only say the words, "I fell," over and over. You know, taking it less than stoically. She's the one, I'm Greek on both sides, she's the one from the Spartan side. If you've ever watched 300,
right.
They're all about, like, being stoic. Not sure. You know what I mean? Like, Leonidas is like, oh, I've only got 18 arrows in me. Where's right. the 19th, pussy? My mom didn't get so much of that DNA.
Yeah.
She could stub her toe and cry for 18 hours like she was like on the fields of Gettysburg.
Not even the composure to hold it together to say, I've fallen and I can't get out.
Exactly. If that happened to you, wouldn't you deliver that line at least once? You're like, I just had to say it. All right. Seriously, though, I'm hurt. Take me to the hospital. So she broke her wrist, and you wanted to know the severity. About as light as a break can get. Just like a little, it looks like the letter C, I guess, for a C for my mom. Broken right in her wrist. It didn't require surgery.
Okay.
It wasn't like the arm wrestling scene from The Fly.
She's going to have to get a cast?
She initially was going to get a cast, and she has this, I think it's called Raynaud's syndrome or whatever. I up until this incident, hadn't looked at my mom's fingers in like 8 to 10 years, maybe 20. You know, ever since like my mom was the one who'd go out and get me food and then give it to me, maybe that's the last time I actually paid attention to her hands. I haven't looked in years. She has this thing called Raynaud's syndrome, some autoimmune thing, and she's beefy, fat, like mafia dude hands now from this because her fingers are just constantly swollen. I shouldn't make fun of that, I guess, because that's kind of sad and like not her fault.
Right. I'm so glad we're on radio because we're both smiling right now. Oh, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a strange thing. I've never heard of this.
Yeah, but like on the other side, it's even bigger.
Okay.
Like she looks like Bruce Banner when he's pissed off and like just parts of him start to hulk out.
Oh my God.
It looks like she has a really pissed right hand right now. Like it's all just purple. Like
she doesn't listen to this show anymore, right?
No.
Okay, good.
No. No one right. she knows would report right. this back to her.
She used to listen. That used to creep me out.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'd talk about whacking it like nonstop. Be like, every time I shut my bedroom door, you bet your bottom dollar that's what I'm doing. I've actually got a second thing I do now with it closed. So if anyone ever asks, I'm just like, I was meditating. I was meditating, which I have been a lot. I'm actually trying to do that instead of pulling it. I realize it's the same behavior, just self-soothing and very alone. Yeah, so Tuesday started, or I guess more concluded, with her falling, cracking her wrist. My neighbor took her there. Thank God my neighbor was around, but then wasn't so happy about the fact my brother and neighbor then stayed at the house for about an hour after my mom came back. And more or less wanted to accuse me of being a lazy piece of crap for having not spit-shined all sidewalks and cleaned them myself. First of all, again, Howard, please say once more, it was like an inch and a half, 2 inches of snow.
Were you, you were tasked, though, with the duties
of... It wasn't even that. I don't even get that task because she's so bullheaded, she won't wait around. And this is where she loses my sympathy. Even as she's lied up at home right now.
Right.
With her arm rotting off. God knows what's going on. It looks so swollen, dude. It's like when you see the corpses on the beaches of Normandy, and they're all just like filled with corpse gas. That's what her hand looks like.
Okay.
But it could be coming down, and I very realistically or very wisely will say, like, all right, I'll shovel when that crap stops, because I don't care to shovel twice or thrice.
Yeah.
She is the type of person who's like, no, if you wait, it'll freeze. Because she gets wet for this. This is what is left for an old woman to get excited about in her life. So if it is snowing, she'll go out every hour and just like scoop up the eighth of an inch that fell. And I'm the lazy piece of crap because I didn't want to do it the four times that would require. And it's like, hey, I actually lift things. I don't mind lifting like 2 pounds of snow per scoop.
My experience has always been that actually heightens the chances of icy conditions when you like just remove a bunch of snow and then there's that like that quarter inch layer.
Yeah,
that comes down. Yeah.
Yeah, that your big fat lady, old lady, big fat Greek ass boots then keep packing down into an ice rink.
Okay.
And I'm not, you know, I don't want it to sound like she's a dog walking on its hind legs. I mean, she's mastered the art of walking, but yeah, she walks like a linebacker, man. She's not very graceful. She's very low to the ground, though. So I do wonder how she managed to fall like that. But yeah, so it was pretty much both the neighbor who didn't exit the house nearly fast enough for my taste, and the brother, who likewise didn't really exit fast enough for my taste, were more or less throwing me under the bus for this when, hey, I guess what? I work sometimes, too. And I was out of the house, and no one told her to go out and check for the mail because she was bored.
Right.
And two, they wanted to act like this was the beginning of the end. I love my brother, but one of his shortcomings is he loves making broad, loud pronunciations that like he is the Solomon on his throne pretty much.
Okay.
And we got a lot of like, this house is too much for you. When are you just selling this piece of crap? My mom doesn't live on a former plantation. We're on a ranch style one floor, two rooms that aren't filled with hoarding crap.
Right.
Like it's as small as a house gets without it being like one of those, you know, 400 square foot things that they do specials in Washingtonian on.
Right.
It's tiny. She has a driveway under 20 feet long. I mean, everything. Like, they wanted to act like she fell in the shower and busted her hip, and this was the beginning of the end. Dumbass slipped on some ice.
Right.
She's old, don't get me wrong. She shouldn't be working.
It's a little early to be moving into assisted living, though.
She's completely cogent. Like, don't
Well, no, assisting living is very different, man. It's very different. Like, I hate to admit this because this is not a fun, silly subject, but I used to work. I used to basically run a legal aid clinic for elderly people to, you know, produce their wills.
Who doesn't love the
advanced
elderly?
Medical directives? I used to go hang out at assisted living facilities and, like, do this stuff.
You said this wasn't fun. This society uses the elderly to sell everything. We can't get enough of them. Continue.
No, I just like assisted. I had the same misconception you did about assisted living, where it's for people who don't have brains. No, like I wrote tons of wills for people living in assisted living.
Yeah,
it's just like it's an apartment complex where they have a cafeteria.
Picture a strong smell of Lysol, corpses being wheeled out daily, and Jamaican nurses that steal from you.
No, that's you're basically talking about nursing care. Nursing care is where you go to die. I mean, it's before hospice. You go to a nursing home. Most people, when you show up in a nursing home, I think you're lucky to live 18 months after nursing homes, after you arrive at the nursing home.
Wow.
Nursing homes are really bad, so you're just bedridden at that point. But assisted living, it's basically a college dorm where occasionally it's as if you're like one of the athletes who breaks a leg and people need to help you with like very limited things. Like you'll have a nurse who comes by because like you're not as good at putting clothes on. Your brain is fine. You can do everything, but you obviously can't clean snow. It's just, it's basically a college dorm with a couple of nurses who have to help people with particular things.
Maybe she does need to get shipped out there. You turned me all around on the topic, Howard.
Yeah, no, like there's stages of it, and like assisted, there are things about assisted living that sound pretty cool to me if they made the food a little bit better. So
we are lazy. that's what I read into that. Yeah, man, it's been about as fun as you think it would be when someone who's usually out of the house because she's working is stuck around 24/7. She is a complete hypochondriac, so I've taken her to the doctor already multiple times. In fact, this show will be wrapping up very quickly because I have to take her to the doctor again, because every 2 days it's like, this doesn't look like it's healing right. John, do you think this looks like it's healing correctly? And I have to remind her, I'm not moonlighting, you know, at medical school. Her baby boy, who admittedly is not dumb, he works as a locksmith and then writes dick jokes and has a podcast on the side. So if she wants my opinion on whether her swollen appendage works, that sounded dirty. You know, feel free, but it ain't worth a hill of beans. So I've been driving her back and forth. Lots of sobbing to herself. My mom could make anything into a negative. Look, it takes a special breed to break their wrist and then be like, well, at least it wasn't my skull. La-di-da, la-di-da. And march on with their life. But she could be a little more glasses half full about it. Instead, I just hear like every couple of hours from the living room or something.
Nah, man. Like, your mom should totally look into retirement communities, man. Because, like, it's a great place. Because that's even before assisted living, is just a plain old retirement community where they provide all the services you need. And you get to hang out with other crazy old people and just talk. And, like, just take all the weird things that are going on in your head that happens after the age of 70 and just, like, project it onto other people who have the same thing. You just take turns being crazy at each other in the retirement community, I think.
I bet every retirement community has somehow convinced itself that it's, like, a prime target for an ISIS attack. Like, they watch the news and they're like, that bad thing's going to happen to us.
Yeah. And Obama's going to just ruining the country is, I think, the common theme.
Oh,
yeah.
I would hate to be like some Arab nurse at one of those. Oh, man.
I think you would like being an old guy when you get to that age, man.
Yeah, well, I'm like a dirty piece of crap, so I would just be like, I have a lot of money. Could someone blow me? Like, I would proposition all the nurses all the time.
I don't think you know how that works, man. Like, I had an old boss who, her mom went to a retirement community.
Yeah.
And, not kidding. So, like, my boss had two teenage kids that were about to go to college, so she'd already given them sex ed, but she actually had to sit her mom down when she got to the retirement community and have the talk, because sexually transmitted diseases are so rampant at retirement communities now, because, like, all these old baby boomer types are, like, even older than that.
Yeah.
They weren't raised with awareness about STDs, and all the ones who are, like, widowed or divorced just go buck wild, and they're like, hey, it's not like we can get pregnant, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Let's, like, see, and, you know, like, old guys can't get off more than a couple times a week at most, so, you know, you have people kind of seeing more than one person, maybe, like, 12 in 6 months, and yeah, you're in your 70s, it's a little gross to think about for us, yeah. But I'm sorry, man, when you're that age, you're gonna be totally down with the ladies who can't get pregnant, I think.
I don't know, man. Like, when I was 18, I loved 18-year-olds, and I'm 33, and I still love 18-year-olds. I don't know if things are going to change all that much for me. Outside of, like, Ben Franklin, who wrote, like, a treatise on banging old women, which he did, by the way. You can find it online. It's really gross. Like, he goes on about how their face falls first, then it's their cans, then it's, like, their neck skin. And then it's their arms. And you know what? He said that it's pretty much a time vault between those legs, man. Like, that thing doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Which I don't believe for a second. Like, I totally think you could be giving it to one, and then, like, there would just be a vaginal prolapse. And you pull out mid-thrust, and you're like, nothing should have followed me on that, and something did.
Wow.
And then you're like, excuse me for a moment, and you walk out of the room and kill yourself promptly.
This sounds like the conversation we had when we were virgins, and we would just talk about what we thought sex would be like. Like, this is totally of that ilk.
Oh, no. I can't remember back 6 months. Good on you. Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. So it's been fun. I am... Thankfully, she can wipe. Thankfully that. I haven't had to do anything too gross.
Oh, no, dude, no. I know you, and you should know that there's a certain point at which you absolutely can call a nurse to come by every day.
That would be it. And if I couldn't call a nurse, I would give her, like, a shower head. And I'd be like, go to town, kid. I'm not, that's where... Because when her mom got infirm,
yeah,
she was, like, wiping it like a baby kind of stuff. And that's where my line is drawn. I'm going to be like, I heard about this on The Simpsons, and I would hand her, like, a stick with a sponge that was duct taped to it. And I would say, do what you can, and no one cares about what you can't. No one's got any business down there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, nah, you should definitely, if it comes to that, consider installing a bidet. You might want to, like, get ahead of the ball in that, install one anyway.
Possibly.
Do a little training. Be like, Mom, this is how you use a bidet. Give a demonstration.
That's my weird thing. I love installing crap around the house. Like, I fixed the toilet 3 weeks ago, and I'm still, like, beating my chest about it. Like, look at me putting in that $7 flush valve. I've cracked this code. Yeah, it's annoying, man. And I think what really sucks was I was finally going to pull the trigger on leaving. And, like, with the new year. I'm like that guy who's about to break up with a girl. And then she's like, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. And you're like, oh, no. This got real. I can't go anywhere. So, yeah, that's been my life. Fetching crap. I'm buying multiple meals out a week. Because, not a week, a day.
Yeah.
Because she's not cooking, and I really don't cook. Like, not in that house. I have no ingredients to cook with.
Right.
Our fridge is filled with, like, old mustard packets and duck sauce from Chinese orders 2 years ago. And, yeah, so I'm not going broke, but I'm spending a lot of money and spending a lot of time driving around, and I'm listening to my mom cry all the time. And now the house is kept even hotter because she somehow claims the heat is helping her heal. So I go home and I listen to an old woman cry and I sweat. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, buddy. Yeah, that's what I got going on, man.
All right, ongoing saga, man. How long is this going to keep being her temporary disability?
Another month.
Okay.
4 to 6 weeks from the point of injury. So let's split it down the middle, say 5 weeks, and she's done about a week.
I'm sorry, man. I don't think you can give up on this, like, moving out business.
Oh, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. I'm bad out of helling as soon as she's, like, able to get what little splint on her arm off.
Right.
But she is a bullheaded fool. Like, she bitched at the doctor and said she really couldn't have a cast, so he relented and got her a splint. And she's promptly just been using the hell out of the hand with the bum rest ever since. And it's still, I mean, swollen like your chick hasn't blown you in a month, and that's your ball sack type swollen.
Yeah.
Like, it is puffy. And she keeps waving it in my face. Like, Mama June from Honey Boo Boo? Who, it looks like Mama June's feet. Or, like, if, I don't know, Daffy Duck had his hand hit with a mallet, and it was just swollen and throbbing. That's what her hand just looks like. And after, like, you know, soon enough, I'm going to have to be like, yeah, that does look effed up. But for the time being, I'm just like, get it out of my face. I'm not a doctor. What about you? Hopefully your life has been a little better than being your mom's lick spittle. Your injured, bitching mom's lick spittle. I sound so compassionate, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, I guess we have had different weeks. Because, yeah, like, you are my Facebook friend, and you probably saw that
I got engaged on Thursday.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, what big news. I didn't know about this at all. Tell me and the audience at the same time. Do you think I sold that?
Well, I mean, last week you gave me advice on how to propose, so.
I did.
I think your fake version came out better than my real one.
Oh, yeah. Tell me, like, what an actual proposal sounds like, man.
Well, I mean, you gotta, I guess, do it the way that you feel comfortable. So I figured private over public, as we discussed last week.
Absolutely.
I figured we would go with at home, cooking together.
I like that.
So we made steak fajitas together. It's something that I can actually do competently because it's not terribly hard. So, yeah, we did that and then ate dinner. And then I had a cue in my mind to let me know that this was a good time to pop the question just because I got to that moment where I was like, this is what I'm supposed to propose. And I was like, crap, I'm nervous.
Who doesn't have that moment in the middle of a Mexican meal where you're like, this is where I marry the person eating this with me?
So I was just like, I just need a segue that comes out of nowhere that allows me to pop the question. So I actually, I was more nervous, I felt like, at this. Cause
were
she was asking
were
me
you
afterwards.
Going to go elaborate with it all? She has a dog, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you, like, train the dog to do anything?
No.
Did it wear, like, a helmet with a ring? Okay. And then it accidentally eats it. So you're like, well, in 24 hours, you're going to be Mrs. Howard.
No, I threatened for a while leading up to this to have the proposal be, like, in dog feces, where I'd be like, you better look through that.
I love you.
But no, instead, I decided that the best thing to do would be on Tuesday, I went up to Baltimore to practice with my band.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way up, I renewed a Costco membership.
Okay.
And then I remembered it's kind of a pain to have a joint account at Costco.
Okay.
So on Thursday when I proposed after dinner, I was just like, hey, I renewed the Costco membership. And I forgot they're kind of jerks about like people being on the same account if they're not married. So...
I want to correct you on that. I know.
Look, it doesn't have to be accurate. This was just my way of like getting down on one knee. All right.
All right. I know the rules of improv are yes and. Just want to say I've been a Costco partner with my buddy Richard Harmon going on 4 years now.
So yeah, no, that was my segue. That was my
nice.
Segue.
Okay.
Because actually we were talking about this afterward. Like I was more nervous proposing than asking her out for the first time, and she thought that was weird in a way.
What? No. You said you're more nervous proposing, right?
Absolutely.
That's way, of course you should be.
Because in her mind, she was, from her perspective, she was like, I was going to say yes. But, you know, like when you first asked me out, I, like, you know, in her mind, that was actually
yeah,
something
you
had to think
about.
Yeah,
but you have zero stakes. Like if a chick shoots you down, who gives a crap?
Exactly. So.
Whereas if you're like, you're proposing. Proposing, from my perspective, is almost like you're damned either way. It's like, yeah, you love the chick, but there's significant downside to marriage. You're never getting bang anyone else, et cetera. And if she shoots you down, like, you feel like crap. It's probably the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, the stakes are 1,000 times higher.
Yeah.
She's insane like that.
Which, going back to last week, that's why, like, I'm not a fan of the public proposal because, you know, there's the element of public humiliation.
I think Brenda Bren, Uber listener Brenda Bren, sent me a... First of all, she sent me a box of candy. I should have brought you half. I just realized that now.
I'm so hungry right now, jerk.
It's like See's candy from California. I ate it all.
Oh,
ate it all. I could barely fit my jeans. I'm disgusted. She sent me a video of a guy getting rejected at... I forgot what. It was a Rockets game. And he went out and like he had that like kind of a Baltimore look, almost like chubby with the Everlast chin strap.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like kind of the button sleeved shirt, but it wasn't tucked in, and actually had like a hot girlfriend, and he took a stab at it and she was just like and walked away, and Tracy McGrady was just laughing his ass off about it. And they showed that on camera, so that was great. Your proposal is better than mine, man. If I ever did get hitched, It would be something like, look, you're way out of my league. I've been trying to trap you for a while now. That's why I haven't been pulling out. And we haven't used any protection. But I figure until my seed takes, I need to hamstring you in the meantime. Shall we? And then I would hold out an onion ring, Homer J. Simpson style.
But yeah, man. So like we are now engaged and
congrats. Official congrats. Everyone. Tweet Howard. Have you made a
I haven't really fixed my Twitter. I'm sorry.
Tweet at Papa's Basement, and then I will tell Howard that you wished him well with his engagement.
But yeah, I did ask you before the show to be a groomsman. We're starting to collect people for the stage.
I
think that's like where we start, so.
I'm down for that. The groomsman, I'm not the best man, right? Or
I'll put it this way. I did not tell you this before the show because I figured I'd spring it on you now. Like, you're in I think you're in the top two, possibly.
Nice.
There might be a third candidate for best man.
Oh, okay. I've never had the best man before.
I'll put it this way. That's interesting. So Rachel has two friends who are going to serve as co-maids of honor.
Yes.
Because you have somebody who's local that absolutely does not want to give a speech.
Uh-huh.
And you have somebody who doesn't live around here that can't really do much, but uh-huh. who would love to just talk at the wedding, at the reception. So that's why I get the option of having two people kind of divide up duties too.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. I think that's a bonus, right?
Yeah. I mean, if it lets me shirk half of my duties as the best man if I have to, then sure.
Here's my two concerns with you as a best man. And
continue.
I think this is something that everyone who listens to this show...
If I can allay your fears, I will. And if you're dead on, I'll tell you that too.
So, I think most people who listen to you know that there are two things that I should be worried about.
It's, sure.
The speech?
You know what? I am not damaged in the brain, so I know what's actually appropriate to say. You're fairly safe there.
And yet,
I'll run it past you.
It's hard. Really?
Yeah, what the hell do I care?
I'm ambivalent about that idea. See?
Oh, okay.
Because I think you
are. And whatever happens is on you.
Because I went to a wedding recently, and the it was great. So one of my friends got married, and his brother was the best man. Mm-hmm. The guy literally looked up how to write a speech. At the wedding
that's
reception.
Reassuring.
He literally just pulled out the phone. Because I talked to the guy afterwards.
What is a speech? Webster's defines it.
No, for the best man speech, he looked it up. It's just, you're supposed to, I forget what he said. He Googled it.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to embarrass the groom and then compliment the bride, something like that. Just talk about how great the bride is for the groom.
That's so cheesy.
But then you got to tell stories about why the groom is a schmuck, basically.
Oh, no, I'd go the other way. I it would end... With me, with my shirt rended open or rent, whatever the past tense of that.
Yeah.
And I'd just be repeatedly screaming, bitch, you better be good to him. They would have to drag me away. Be like, he's a catch. Be good.
No, I know you got good sense, man. But yeah, there's the anxiety that I'd be like, oh, he's going to, you know too much about me. I think that's my greatest fear is that you could pull a story that I'd be like, I can't believe he's telling this.
Oh, no. I like being polished and schmaltzy when I have to.
Yeah.
Here are my two big fears. One, my suit won't fit me anymore. And two, this is, I guess, shock jockery, if you will. The fabric of dress pants does a weird thing to the head of my dick, and I get hard in seconds wearing dress pants, and it's just really visible because they're dress pants.
I mean, we would probably rent tuxes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, then. I'll just tuck it under the cummerbund or whatever. But yeah, in church.
You're one of those well-hung radio DJs. I forgot.
I didn't say it was much to see, but it's visible. A half roll of certs will show up. But yeah, that was always my thing in church. The pew was right level with my dick, and it would rub me through the fabric of my pants, and I was just always really erect in church the whole time. And so I'd have to put a Bible over my dong or smash my dick against the pew every time we had to stand.
I'm trying to remember. So the second thing. So, there's the speech.
Yeah.
And, this is your show. So
yeah.
I think many people will be concerned that, oh, this guy's giving the speech?
Oh, I mean, it's I'm trying to think of an analogous thing. Maybe it's you think George Carlin. He wouldn't be fit for that. But if you sit George Carlin down, you're like, George, you had to be clean for this. He'll, or maybe Frank Zappa. Yes, Frank Zappa, when he sounded off on censorship about, via Tipper Gore and
right.
the whole parental advisory thing. And Frank comes in and he's wearing a suit and he's fairly groomed and he delivers this cogent argument and then walks out. And everyone's like, Frank, you didn't poop on top of a tin foil plate and then smear it on your face like war paint. Why not? It's like, I'm not an animal, you know? Like, I understand appropriate creative time. Yeah. You know, it's like, I run a business, and people right. are like, oh, well, how do you do that? It's like, I understand that the customers who hire me want to get into their house and not hear a dick joke.
Okay, yeah, no, like, I think the reality is, and we both know this, well, it's a bigger thing than just this, but the bachelor party.
Yeah, yeah.
I am really afraid of you running my bachelor party.
That is where all fears are completely, those are grounded, well grounded, because
yeah.
I'll be honest, man, the bachelor parties I've been invited to have all been what sounds like kind of recipes for homosexual experimentation, where it's like, we're going to get a cabin in the woods and drink together for 3 days. That is how you have dude sex. Like, by the end of day two, where you're like, oh, I like that beard on you, man. You think that's a good look for me? Yeah, it is. And then you're kissing a guy, and he's grabbing your dick. And then you're filled with a lot of questions when it comes time for the wedding. And no, I wouldn't do that. Like, I'm old school, where I think, like, at the very least, it should be, like, strippers who are nipple and mouth level strippers. And, like, women... And most guys actually don't realize there's, like, different tiers of strippers. There's, like, the ones who are like, don't touch me. I'll grind on you for $30. But if you initiate crap, you're getting beaten to a pulp. And then there's, like, the good kind, where it's like, you got a tit in your face. You want to suck that tit? You're human. You know, like, I'm good with that. If I'm sitting on your face, you want to put your tongue out? You're human. Indulge. I'm not going to put a T-bone steak in front of you, put a fork and knife in your hand and say, don't eat. No, indulge. You're human. So at the very least, yeah, it would be like hardcore house strippers who are like whipped cream on all their good parts, lick it off type. And that's at the very least. I mean, if you want to, like, you know, go to Hoville.
See, I've never liked strip clubs. I've gone numerous times with you.
I'm not big on strip clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I go, it's because I go with friends who really enjoy it. And yeah. I always get to turn my nose up at them.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, how dare, you know, what fools. I'll tell you, really, the one time I've enjoyed a strip club for the actual sexuality factor of it, I was in Vegas and I went to the Hustler Club. And within 10 minutes, some, like, short little Latin broad, who I think said she was a mom of four. I don't know what the hell she was muttering about. She's like, I'm mom of four. Feel how flat my stomach is. And it was. And then she pulled out her tit and just shoved it in my face. And, like, we know my preference in areolars.
Yeah,
I like a nice, dark, large one, and she fit the bill, and I was like, wow, I'm really turned on. And then it was like $20 full do-whatever-you-want lap dances, and so I was like, here's like 80 or 100. I think it was 80 out of my pocket. And like for 20 minutes, yeah, I just got like, you know, I got to play baby. Num, 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 num. And you know what? $80 well spent. Had a gay old time with that.
See, I would have a – I've never had that kind of lap dance, and for me, like, nipple in the face, mm-hmm. I would just, like, you know, like, we're slightly germophobic in my family. I would want...
Pull out a wet nap.
To pull out, like, yeah. a Clorox wipe or something. Uh-huh. I'd be like, get that away from my face.
Yeah.
This is a mucous membrane.
Yeah, you know, I sucked it up. I was like, if you're going to get hepatitis B, might as well be off the nipple of a Bolivian stripper.
But, yeah, like, I just don't enjoy them. So, like, for me, I don't want a bachelor party if it's supposed to be, like, fun for me that involves strippers.
Okay. Well, what do you want, then?
It will involve video games and a blunt. I think that's, like, when I really think about what I'm going to miss the most about married life. It's not the married life part, but it's more once you start having kids.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like, babies need a lot of attention. And sitting around, stoned out of your mind, is not one of those things that people can do. So...
Well, I have some news for you that's good. People don't actually eat babies when they're high, so you're fine. As much as the propaganda of the 60s might tell you otherwise, that you would microwave your infant.
No, but you forget a lot of crap when you're, like, in that state, you know? It's like,
I don't think there's much to remember, though. The baby's just going to be like, wah, wah, go, wah, did you crap yourself? No, then have more food. I don't think they're that hard. They just cry a lot. I figure weed would just help, because then you could deal with all that damn crying.
So I would prefer an experience that was more like being a 12-year-old than, you know, being a 19-year-old. I'll say that.
I'm fine with 12-year-old, as long as it isn't like we have
I'm sorry, 16.
I guess 12 is kind of early to be.
As long as we don't have to pretend that, like, getting really drunk with a bunch of dudes can end in any way other than awfully. And you just want to get weed and video games. I can handle weed and video games. I'll maybe even get high with you, and I'm not big on pot. But for the big day, yeah, I can smoke a blunt and play some Street Fighter with Guile or Rue. Something I won't forget.
Yeah, no, just go classic video game style, man. Not even this, like, new crap. Halo? No, I'm talking GoldenEye.
Okay, yeah. Dig out some old video games.
Bubble
systems.
Bobble, man.
Get
We're going to go.
TVs?
Yeah. Bubble little 8-bit.
Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, God. That's going to be later in the night when people are just like, what's going on? Dude, it's your turn on Mario 3.
That is simple enough, man. I'll just get a lot of bud for you. Whatever the legal amount in Virginia is, of course.
Oh, obviously, we would be going to Colorado for this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, we'll do that, and we'll buy from legal dispensaries. And the photos will just happen to have the Washington Monument in the background. I don't know why.
I'm pretty good with the green screen, homie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's hardcore, man. When is this actually going down, by the way? How long have I got to move?
Everybody's been asking us that, and it's kind of a... I guess, yeah, I should point that out to you. We either are going to have to go with, like, fall around here, but it's kind of, that's a little soon. So
yeah,
if
is.
We do winter, we're going to have to do it probably in South Florida.
South Florida. I guess I can live with that.
Otherwise, like, we have to wait for more than a year. And then do it up here in the spring. So that's South why, like, Florida. It's those...
I'm going to tell you right now, your chick is going to have it in South Florida. She's just going to maneuver it there. Women
no.
are manipulative, period.
No, no, she really doesn't want to. You know how hard it is to plan a wedding from, like, that distance?
Dude, you don't have to tell me. I think it's hellish. And plus, like, I think it's only fair to not make the people you care about have to, like, fly. South Florida is as mild as a flight gets. It's like, what, 150-round trip for us or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, no, that's why, like, it's kind of good for anybody who's in D.C. If we went there, it's just like, that's actually kind of pleasant in winter. Like, don't you want to get away from the ice?
Yeah, but there are guys that, like, have their... Well, especially my brother's friend has... He's done bachelor parties in Austin. Like, you know, bachelor 3 days or whatever. And I think Vancouver. Or no, it was Quebec. It was the Frenchy place.
Yeah.
And then another friend of mine, Richie. Richie K, little French Rich. He's had to, like, go, I think, to... God, the Bahamas are crap for, like, actual weddings and stuff. I'm like, why would you put that on your friends? I would write in my little wedding invitation that we're not going anywhere. Please put a little of that difference that you saved towards the gift. You know, just appeal. Be like, toss it an extra
I look at the other way. Anybody with a destination wedding, that's basically saying you don't have to come, just send a gift.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What destination wedding invitations say to me.
That's fine. If you're not going to get pissy about someone not showing up because they didn't want to sink $600 going to see
yeah.
a dumb wedding.
I mean, yeah, because I have one of my friends went to a wedding in the Galapagos Islands.
Why?
But it
to
was
see the turtles or whatever?
He really wanted to go. And so the people set it up and they're just like first 30 people who like sign up for this get to come. They really just, like, sent a bunch of people an email and were just like, who wants to go to the Galapagos? This is what we want to do. So he wasn't even that good of friends with the people. Like, he went to law school with one of the girls, like, with the girl getting married.
Yeah.
Like, they hadn't really talked in a long time. It was just, like, he was on the email list because, like, they had, like, I guess they lived together for one semester, so he ended up just...
Dude, if I get married, I am keeping that ass tight. It'll be, like, the people I hang out with. If you're some loose acquaintance, you're not going to my goddamn wedding. I'm sorry. And I'm getting it catered by Chick-fil-A. Everyone will laugh for a second, and then they're going to you know what? This was awesome. And I'll go, I know.
That's a lot of nuggets, man.
Tons of nuggets.
You
sandwiches.
Better get a lot. No, seriously, man. Because like, if you had Chick-fil-A catering, I would take at least 25 nuggets. It's a party, man.
Yeah. I'd get thousands. We'd have snowball fights with them. Be amazing. Almost want to get married just for that. Just for an excuse. You know what? Chick-fil-A catering for your bachelor party. There we go. Getting high and eating Chick-fil-A. You'll be like, you know what? This isn't all bad.
And just to spite them, we'll get really gay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Exactly. Well, like, we aren't even that drunk, and yet we're going to do the whole gay tonguing thing that John talked about. Well, are you psyched, man? I mean, is it, tell me, cause you, more of my friends, my normal friends, the ones who are marriable are getting married. And I'm starting to realize, like, I'm in this weird limbo where I'm normal enough that I have a girlfriend, but the thought of marriage terrifies me. And I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever walk that plank.
Well, I mean, you're still trying to, like, figure out the whole entertainment business side of things. Like, absolutely. Do you really want that? So, for me, the priority, and this goes back to, like, you know, no offense, man, but if you were, like, one of two best men,
yeah.
Like, I'd have to reinforce you with somebody who actually has the discipline to get things done. Cause I mean, like with your entertainment career, we talk about improving the website, but week to week I show up and we have a conversation, and I just suspect that anytime you sit down to like work on the website or find ways to promote, you just find Reddit gone wild.
Well, yeah, but I've been forcing myself to like come way faster. So that's discipline to me.
But do you then just take a nap, or do you go back to like figuring out how to promote your brand, et cetera?
I've been working a lot, not to take all the steam out of your argument. I am lazy. but I've been doing a lot with the comic site, actually. Spookiescomic.com. There's a lot that went on there. I gotta take a break for a second. I have a bunch of missed calls from customers. Someone looks very locked out.
Okay.
I need to break them the bad news, and then we'll come like right back.
All right.
And we're back. It has actually been 6 years since we hit pause on that recording. Do you think anyone fell for that? No.
But no, man, what I'm saying is, like, I think this is the year you're actually going to push for it.
Absolutely.
I've been hanging out with you for a while doing the show, and I haven't really believed you till recently. So I'm feeling pretty good. I think you're feeling, like, that time crunch as you get older, and that's the priority of, like, oh, crap, I haven't done this for my career. Whereas, like, I think... not too distant in the future, you're going to be like, oh, crap, I need to propagate the species.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah. Like, once I feel you've established yourself, then sure, you can be like, you know what my next concern is? Coming deep. Not pulling out and just letting it sit like a stain on the carpet. Just, yeah, doing my thing inside a woman. Inside a woman I marked, because I'm a caveman. That's how I view marriage. It's like, I bought that one. I bought it, and I can break it. But, yeah, that's probably... I just don't feel comfortable with where I would be. I guess the money is somewhat comfortable, but it's like, if I had to make money the way I currently make money, and I had kids, I would be like, whoa, that ship sailed. I am now a locksmith forever. And I would get blue. Not like it's a bad living, it's a decent living, but I like to think I am capable of more.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the reality is, like, if you want to do entertainment, man, I mean, if you got married and then tried to, like, figure out, oh, what's happening in New York? What's happening in LA?
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It's really hard to do that, yeah. Really hard to do that.
Also,
every decision is a couple decision. It's not just you. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to, like, kick my balls in for the way I said more about 30 seconds ago... I hated myself as I said it that way, so you're not alone. But you're absolutely right. It suddenly your dreams have to kind of line up with like family dreams, or at the very least not be possibly misinterpreted as just like incredibly selfish.
Right.
Where it's like, well, I want to become a famous pop star, but stay married to you. Not going to trade you in. I don't know, man. It's getting real. I got too many friends with kids and the rings and it's getting real.
Just get your crap together with the podcast and website, man.
Yeah.
That's a start.
Yeah, because the comic's actually making like $1 or something a day, and that got me a taste. I wanted to surprise you this week with a redone site, and my mom cracked her wrist.
Yeah.
So I've been hanging around the house. And then like I was going to go out tonight. Well, I was going to do it over the weekend, and then the reality of like 8.5 hours of football to watch hit me. And then tonight we have the national championship.
Yeah, I'm watching national championship tonight.
Yeah, yeah. He was
saving for the football show, man.
Well, I can just I love rationalizing. I like how I'm like too cool for school for 90% of the show, and then you're like, you're lazy. And I'm like, no, here's me grasping for justifications as to why I'm not. It's like, I had so much football to watch, Howard. Why don't you understand that?
Hey, listen, that's partly my fault. I'm the one who pushed for the football show. So I'm just like, yeah, man. That's totally research.
Oh, I watched. Oh, God. Again, we'll save it for the football show. I watched every minute of every game.
Good for you. I did not do the same.
Really?
I will refuse to admit that on the actual football show, but I will admit that on Papa's Basement.
Which one did you ask the bet on?
Man, I didn't watch a second of that Seattle, like, Carolina game.
Oh, no. I watched probably three quarters of that piece of crap.
I guess that's not
every second someone liked it.
I dropped on the second half of the Green Bay game. Dropped the first half of the Colts game.
Watched all of them both. Went to Dear Sweet Rich Herman's.
Nah, man.
Sat in his grandmama's basement, ate pizza the way God intended. Just watch that
stuff. Dude, you're killing our content for the next show.
No,
Come on, man.
It's a football show. We go into depth. We don't mention watching it.
All right.
We're fine there. All right, we can, I guess, exit. Nah, we need to. Let's do another 8-minute segment. I actually was sent an evergreen. That's code for we could do this all the time, but I feel it segues into what you were talking about with the marriage and stuff. Allison sent me an article in the New York Times, and it was called "To Fall in Love with Anyone, Do This." So I'm not trying to tell you that you have a woman that you're crying, you know, trying to make the one, and I'm like, actually, Howard, you can do these three things and fall in love with anyone forever. But I found it fascinating, so I figure we can do this as a little outro.
Okay. Oh, I was worried you were going to say we need to do this as an experiment.
Yeah. Step one, fit each other's penises in each other's mouths and put it in the left cheek. That's the really important part. The right cheek would make you guys gay. So it starts... More than 20 years ago, psychologist Arthur Aaron succeeded in making two strangers fall in love in his lab. Last summer, I applied this technique in my own life, which is how I found myself standing on a bridge at midnight, staring into a man's eyes for exactly 4 minutes. It's an interesting read. It tells the story of this Arthur Aaron experiment. I don't know when Arthur Aaron did it. Could have been the goddamn Civil War, for all I know.
Yeah.
But in essence... it boils down love to the following. Tell me if you think this is true. You pretty much just ask each other increasingly personal questions, so you learn each other's kind of secrets to some extent. And that causes you to kind of break down barriers, and also you become like a little invested in each other because it's like,
right.
Oh, wait, he knows this about me, and he knows that about me. And at the end, like this Miss Mandy Len... Katrin said, you stare into each other's eyes for 4 minutes. That part, I guess, is a meditative thing, maybe, to calm each other, and you look at each other, and when you focus solely on someone, it does make you like them a lot. Because I think that's something you would do naturally if attracted to them, but your brain is dumb. So if you just force yourself to do it, it's like, I can't tell the difference between me wanting to do it and me being forced to do it, but I'm doing it. So this means I like this person. But it's a good read. To fall in love with anyone, do this. Just Google those words. And what I really found fascinating about the article is the guy, Arthur Aaron, the people involved in his original study, wound up married.
Right.
And the girl who writes this kind of like poo-poos the notion the whole time. She, by the way, goes out on a date with a friend. And they do all this crap while laughing about it. Like, this will never work. You know what the last paragraph or so of this article is? Not to give it away. You're probably wondering if he and I fell in love. Well, we did. Although it's hard to credit the study entirely, it may have happened anyway. Mind you, this was like a casual friend who she really never hung out with. They went and did this, and suddenly they're in love. Not just dating, by the way. I even forgot that. He and I fell in love, and we did. The study did give us a way into a relationship that feels deliberate. We spent weeks in the intimate space we created that night, waiting to see what it could become. Love didn't happen to us. We are in love because we made the choice to be. And that's really an interesting, it's almost the point she makes with the whole article. Is love something like we fall into, or do we kind of enter a time in our life where we're just like,
ready for it.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. And then you start seeing it in people the same way, like I buy a Honda Civic, suddenly I see a million Honda Civics on the road. You choose what you focus
on. Yeah, I think that's the predicate to this experiment. You have to like want to fall in love. I think you're finding people who don't just have that quality, but who want to tell each other those secrets. I don't think, you know, these two strangers who actually got married because of the experiment, and then this couple of friends who then now are dating, they had an initial connection that allowed them to reveal the secrets to begin with. So there has to be something there before you start this process. So, like, it sounds consistent. Like, whoever designed this, what's his name? Arthur something?
Well, let's look. It was done by... Oh, actually, Falcon's owner, Arthur Blank. No. Arthur Aaron.
All right, so it sounds like he did simulate a lot of the things that go into what is a loving relationship with physical intimacy, with the eye-locking, but before that, emotional connections based on, like, secrecy, which is a slightly cynical way to look at it, but yet, you know, effective. So... It won't work for any two people that you stick in a room. But, okay. Yeah, like, I think if you find two people who match certain criteria, like you're saying, the biggest one being, like, I'm ready for this. I wonder what this article, if this chick actually, like, approached several other dude friends who were like, bitch, you crazy. Yeah. Get out of here.
Maybe if he was fit a hoe.
Or, like, she's just plotting against this guy where it's like, I think this guy's really hot. I'm going to see if he's going to go for this.
That'd be great.
You know? Like, there's something else going here that she's not telling us.
I like how I did my default voice was the guy who did the juggernaut, bitch! The questions are great, though. I'm looking at them right now. There's three different sets of escalating intimacy, if you will.
Okay.
It's really like boiling crabs, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just threw them in a boiling pot, they'd... Well, I guess that's boiling frogs is more the analogy. If you throw them in a boiling pot, they would jump out, scalded, and eventually die. But you just put them in there, and it warms up, and they just sit there and look at you with their little frog eyes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I guess crabs would just gnash, and, like, if you were dumb enough to shove your hand in, maybe they'd clip the hell out of your fingers. But I think you can just toss them in boiling water. So set one. Here's one of them. Given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? Innocent enough, right?
I hate that question.
That's so dumb. Middle of set two.
See, but most people, like, if that's a first date, if you're talking to somebody on a first date and you don't know they're trying to do this, a lot of people just walk out. They check out right there, like, you are such a tool. I'm done with this date.
No, you kind of have to go back and forth with it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying to any of our lonely listeners, so to all of our listeners, do this. Find this article. There's a link to the 36 questions.
Okay.
Your entire every date, your every first date can be laughing about, like, hey, you want to give this a try? I mean, how nefarious is that?
Yeah.
It's fishing with not even dynamite. It's fishing with Scud missiles, dude. It's fishing with Hiroshima A-bombs. Like, this makes people marry each other.
See, but no, this is the sort of thing some people will try without disclosing that's what they're doing.
Yeah, 100%. Don't disclose it. I'm just saying, like, use it as a lay technique.
No, but it's horrible because, like, some of these questions without people knowing it are just ones where, like, you hear this from most people. You're like, yo, I'm not feeling this. Like, you're asking weird questions.
Well, okay. I'm just saying it's proven pretty effective because that's how
people are willing to endure all the questions. Yeah. If you're just bringing it up and I don't know, like, we're doing this on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hate that question. I've had people just ask that in general in earnest, like, who would you like to have dinner with? And the instant reaction people is, anyone in the world but you. That's a stupid question. What is wrong with you?
All right.
Over half of people in the world are going to say Jesus Christ.
Ugh.
That's my favorite one. It's such a cliche answer. I'm not even religious. However, I think it would be interesting if I had dinner with Jesus. I've heard that more than half the times I've heard that question asked because I hear it asked all the time with even more cliche answers.
It'd be really great, actually, if you did have him as a dinner guest. Because then he'd be like, you know, it's really ironic because I'm a carpenter, but I have this awful fear of nails. What do you think that's about?
Oh, I thought you were going to go with, this is great because now this is your last supper.
And then he opens his Jesus cape and the angel of death zips out. So just real fast, set two, what is your, your greatest accomplishment in life? What is your most terrible memory? Things are starting to get up there.
Look, these are horrible things on a first date. Like, what you're telling me are just, like, deal-breaker questions. Like, if I'm not consenting to an experiment, these are like, screw you. There's something wrong with you. You've been thinking about getting married way too long.
I would view this as like a party icebreaker. You just go, a friend just sent me this link. Do you want to do these questions? I know it's silly. And then get this from category three. Complete this sentence. I wish I had someone with whom I could share blank.
Herpes.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
HIV.
No, it's just like, these are, there's no way someone could just get through all these questions. I think this was designed almost on purpose as questions that you could not get through in a real conversation unless the other person knew you were doing this in order to see if you were compatible with each other.
Well, I just phrase it that way then. I wanted to put it out there because I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that some of my podcast listeners are lonely, lonely people. So your old pal John says, get online, do that with people. Just get them out for a drink and do that and see if you guys wind up in love.
But you can't act like you came up with these questions because people...
No. You have to be totally open about what it is. You just have to pretend it's your first time doing it. Even if you've, like, bagged four women that week. You have to be like, a friend sent me this earlier today. The timing's so weird, but would you want to do this? And she's like, okay. And you just bust out the notepad you happen to have. And
I really don't think it works on a first date either. I really don't think this is the sort of thing you can just stick. You might. The only reason it worked for the psychologist is he probably had some sort of eHarmony formula back in the day where he figured out people who were somewhat compatible.
You might be right, yeah.
But I don't think you can just like walk up to somebody and make this work. You have to actually like have some chemistry there first.
Yeah, I don't think he married like Jesse Owens and the daughter of a Klansman or something. Well, on that uplifting note, that was Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio again, co-host Howard. Howard Flood. Gotta love him. Hopefully I got him for a while still.
At least one more week.
Nice. Show's site, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done. If you do the podcast subscription thing, we are on both Stitcher for you Droid users, and we determined last week those were nerds, the poor, and the foreign. And if you're into any iDevice, if you have a couple bucks to rub together, that's the clientele we want to appeal to. You can find us using the podcast app. It's PAPA*Basement. There's also Papa's Football Podcast, a football show, strangely enough, that Howard and I do together. Last but not least, SpookiesComic.com, a comic I write with a buddy of mine. Oh, and the football site is PFPod.com, where, just like InPapa'sBasement.com, you can find every episode we've ever done. I have to piss like a racehorse. Howard, congrats. Mom, I'll be home to wipe soon. And we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.